every Saturday night, 7 to 9, real hip-hop, man. Real feel-good music. They've been running consistently since 1991. Shout out to Masters.
Man. A lot of people like heavy music, huh?
We are here to make, you know, a statement. If people don't recognize it, pick you!
In a world full of posers, Metallic Montreal steps forth to light the way. From the power to the thrash, the black, the doom, and the death, heavy music meets a champion. 90.3 FM, CKUT.
Yeah. Dirk thrown right there with Canadian metal off of New Wave of Black Heavy Metal. These guys are so funny. They're probably one of the few second wave black metal bands that I can actually stand, but you know what? I like these guys. I think they're fun. You're tuned to Metallic Montreal with your host, Noah, the Bastard Child, right here in the seat. We're going to be playing a lot of Canadian content throughout the show, so stay tuned for that. You're going to hear a lot of new releases, or at least new as in this year, records that came out from Canadian bands. Not that one, though. That one's a bit old. And we also have a very cool interview with Cellpress, band from out here in Montreal. Super cool, guys. Stay tuned for that as well around 10 o'clock. But without any further ado, let's play some Cauldron. Save the Truth. Syracuse.
Can't escape the cold.
spill right there. Opulent Decay off the album of the same name. Before that, Traveler, Terminal Shock. Again, same title for the album. Really enjoying that last band Spell. They're putting out some pretty interesting stuff that I just haven't heard in a while. Reminds me a bit of Devil Master, if you're familiar. Anyway, we're going to keep the music flowing. It's going to take a bit of a left turn away from this more classic sound into something a little bit more technical and a little bit more death metal. Dare I say, a little bit deathcore? Hope to God not, but I don't care. These guys are great, and they're not Canadian, but again, I don't care. Pangea, Black Tower, Vesper.
Just say, I'm waiting in the community. Tell them, yeah.
Pangea, Black Tower off of Vesper. I don't remember where these guys are from exactly. I think they're from somewhere in the Midwest. I think they're from, like, Wisconsin or something. They're super cool. Really interesting band. Been enjoying that album a lot, actually. I didn't expect to. It's definitely not my normal style. And before that, we heard some Spell, Opulent Decay, Traveler with Terminal Shock, Cauldron, Save the Truth, and Dark Throne, Canadian Metal, to start off the night right. We're going to keep the music flowing. It's such an Opeth thing to do. It's a nice little flamenco. All right, up next we got a band called Killitoris. What a name. Rodney Dangerfield of Dreams, off of their new album, The After Party. Here in Metallic Montreal, CKUT. Let's go! Here's some more bullshit classical interludes. Jesus Christ, what's going on with all these guys? All right, Killitoris, Rodney Dangerfield of Dreams. Up next, Omniarch, their self-titled release, Ursa Major.
My pride I am the chosen one.
Cataclysm, Cut Me Down. You should probably know about these guys by now. They've been around forever. That's off their new record, Unconquered, which dropped this year. Before that, Omniarch, Ursa Major off their self-titled, and Killitteris, Rodney Dangerfield of Dreams off the After Party. And to start off that segment, Pangea, Black Tower off of Vesper. If you check out any of these bands, make sure it's Pangea. I love it. I don't know why, but I absolutely adore it. Coming up next, we're going to play something in a bit of a different style. This is going to be a bit of an oddball, actually, for the show, but I don't care. I like playing stuff that I think is cool. This is The Garden, crystal clear off of Ha-Ha! It's a bit like no-wave, experimental, oddball punky kind of stuff. I think it's cool shit, and I hope that you do too.
Try to love, the more that you're lost to see.
Still Life with Maggots, the Great Sabatini off of Goodbye Audio. Bye-bye. And before that, Junk Owl, Montreal's own Straight Jacket off of Making Out With My Death. And before that, The Garden, the track Crystal Clear off of Ha Ha. Up next, we've got Cell Press, live for the interview. But first, we're going to play a nice little song off of that the EP they just dropped. It's going to be Desert Breath by Cell Press.
Yeah.
And we're back. I'm here with Tom from Cell Press. How's it going, Tom?
It's going good, man. Just waking up, starting off my day. Beautiful Sunday, Saturday. Yeah, sparking up a joint with my coffee.
Shows what kind of state of mind we're all still in. So, you guys just dropped an EP. I believe it's your first official release. You guys didn't put out a demo, did you?
No, we recorded our demos by ourselves just for internal use to help with the writing process. But they were never released, so that's the only thing we got out, yeah.
So the EP, like, it just dropped in November. You guys have been a band for, like, what, not even a year. That's pretty fast to kind of go so, like, straight into all the promotion and, like, doing everything correctly. What's up with that?
Well, we're all, like, we're all from, like, other bands that have been playing for, you know, we've all been doing this shit for 20 years or so. So when we got it together, we were like, you know what, we're doing this the right way, right off the bat. We're not going to be tiptoeing anywhere because, you know, we're here and we're here to knock the door down. We're not here to, you know, wander in. We're here to knock down the door and scream in your face.
I mean, it's a great release, too. Like, it's really, really heavy and very well recorded and produced, especially for, you know, again, a first attempt from a band, but I guess because you guys all have all that experience, it's not that different.
Yeah, we were really lucky to go to a really awesome studio down in Hamilton too with Sean Pearson. He's really good at recording this type of music. Yeah, we just got really lucky with who we worked with for this. Like I said, with all the experience that we brought in, especially with the other guys, I'm more of like punk rocker guy. I've just been like, you know, recording hardcore punk rock stuff in bedrooms and stuff like that. But the other guys have a lot more experience with that. So they were able to lead the way with that stuff for sure.
So did you guys self-produce this, or was it mostly Sean Pearson and Hamilton?
It was more of a collaborative effort, I guess, with him, but we mostly self-produced it. We knew exactly what direction we wanted to take the songs, how we wanted them to sound. So we just brought it to him, and he was just really good behind the boards and knowing which takes. It was a collaborative effort. Mm. And especially with the noise track at the end, yeah, that was a really collaborative effort with him as well.
Cool. Sounds like a collaborative in a creative sense as well.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
That's a pretty interesting trend that I've definitely noticed, is that it's a lot more common for producers, even if they're not members of the band necessarily, to be creatively involved. Is that something that you prefer, or that you just kind of feel out with different people?
There's none of us that are really looking to be like in the spotlight of this, or like the front person of this band or anything like that. Like, we all have the same intention of like just, you know, making an awesome project and everybody pulling their own weight and putting their own opinions in there. So it was just, you know, equal percentage collaborative, man. Yeah, that's the way.
So you guys, from what I understand, formed pretty much right before COVID happened and everything locked down. I was looking through your Facebook page. You guys had a couple shows that were booked. But did you end up playing any of them?
We started last year in 2019 in the summer. And we actually recorded this EP pre-COVID in January. So we were able to play a couple shows at Turbo House before all the shit went down. We did have a lot of stuff booked for this summer that had to get canceled, like the Aprilis Fest and, you know, Sherbrooke Massacre. So that was a real bummer, man, because we've only got two shows as a band under our belt, and we're dying to get some shows going, man.
I mean, I completely understand. Everybody's in the same boat there. Anybody that dropped a record this year is pretty pissed off, because it's like, well, what do you do with it?
I know, because, like, you know, we're doing interviews here and we're chit-chatting about it nonstop and we're getting reviews and, like, everything's about the band, but we're, like, the thing that we most like to do is play live, and we're not able to do that. It sucks, man, but you know what? When we come back, it's going to be an explosion in your face, man. Like, we just, because we got a lot of pent-up energy right now, man. Some major blue balls.
So what are you guys planning for the next year, then? Assuming things go back to some semblance of normal, is this still going to be the springboard you guys want to go out and, like, tour on? Are you going to try and put together another longer project? Like, what does the next year look like?
Well, we have other songs in the can that we recorded when we did that session in Hamilton in January. So we do have a split release coming up soon in the next couple months with Grabert will be one of the bands, and Anthesis will be one of the bands, and shit, I forget the other one, man. It's going to be a 4x split tape cassette. And, like, we have another video coming out in the next month or so for Blacked Out and Verdun. It's already shot and edited. It's just waiting to come out. I just want to go back to Hamilton as soon as possible, man. Because like I said, we recorded all these songs, including the ones for the split coming up in January. So like a lot of stuff to get out, man. Like we could go tomorrow and record another EP. As far as longer projects, like we haven't really discussed it too much in depth. But these days, like longer projects are, I don't know really the if it's something we're too interested in doing rather than just like laying out EP after EP after EP, because longer projects, I don't know, they just seem to, people's attention span doesn't really, you know, correspond with that these days.
It's a pretty interesting trend, especially once you get outside of heavy music. Like, nobody cares about albums. People put out single after single after single for a full year, and that's your release cycle.
Exactly.
Even with like more rock heavy bands, it's EPs primarily, I think, that get people lots of attention quickly, because you can put out an EP every, you know, like two times a year, three times a year if you're working on it.
Sometimes with a live show, for example, you can really capture the audience's attention for the first 15 or 20 minutes. And no matter how good you are, things will taper off after that. Either you're getting tired, or I just like to go in the door, punch everybody in the face, and then get out right away. You know what I mean? And EPs kind of have a way of doing that.
Problem with this project and that ethos, though, is that like all the sludge bands I've ever heard put out these like 10-minute long songs. They're always these long opuses that go on forever because it's just such a slow tempo, right?
Yeah. Hey, we have an 11-minute song.
There you go. So sludge is like a pretty interesting genre. I grew up with this stuff. I'm originally out from the West Coast. I'm from Portland, Oregon. I grew up just surrounded by people ripping off Kylesa constantly. And I love this stuff for sure, but it's definitely not at like the same kind of peak of popularity as it was maybe a decade ago. So I always find it really interesting the kinds of projects and the kinds of bands that are still trying to push the style forward, be more creative and forward thinking. What do you think of the state of, you know, sludge metal, this kind of crusty, slower, doomy kind of stuff in 2020?
Well, I think that with us, we don't really like take that approach when we record, because me personally, like, I've never been a huge sludge guy. I've never played in a sludge band. I've always been in like hardcore bands and punk bands. So I don't think about sludge when I'm approaching the songwriting. And I think we all have kind of a different approach on that. Sean and Joey, coming from the Sabatini, I think they might have a more sludgy approach when they're coming into the songs. But yeah, we don't really think about genre or sludge or anything like that. We just want to make like songs that we like to do, man, and rip it up and try to make it unique.
That's a good answer. A lot of people try not to box themselves in, for sure.
Do you know that band Ills from Oregon?
They're good friends of mine. The dude mastered my last record, actually.
Dude, that guy is such a good singer, man. I love that band, man. I just discovered them recently, man.
They're killer. I've been hyping them up for the last year, hoping that they'd get attention, and like the record they just dropped is incredible.
It's amazing, man. It's amazing. I'm really impressed by those guys.
I swear, though, it's crazy. A lot of like what makes good bands that sound like that is 100% just like the tone they get, the way they record it, and like how heavy the drums sound. Like it's almost as if like the riff doesn't matter at a certain point.
Yeah,